Welcome to the Minimum Viable Podcast, a project of the Defense Entrepreneurs Forum. Our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower people in order to promote a culture of innovation in the U.S. national security community. You can learn more about DEF and get involved at DEF.org. That's DEF.org. We look forward to your ideas and are excited to connect you with other doers working on hard problems.
Hello to our DEF members. This is Heather Alvarado, one of the two paid staff members on the DEF national team. As the operations team lead, I was excited to see familiar and new faces on January 29th when Lee from Better Meetings joined us to facilitate our DEF Q1, or as we call it, Saturday Super Summit. After the meeting, I asked Lee what he learned about DEF that he didn't know before the Saturday Summit, and asked him which of the breakout sessions was his favorite. Please listen as he talks about his experience.
In working with DEF over this weekend retreat, I think what really comes out is that it's a group of people with a lot of passion. And I think it's weird because it's not a passion around a profession per se, right? It's a profession, or it's a passion that crosses a whole bunch of different professional types, I guess, really. And it's a bunch of people that have come together around this approach of doing things differently. And, you know, we certainly see this with a lot of volunteer organizations where people have to put forth their own time. But this is a little different because it's a professional organization that's volunteer. And I think to get people to show up, in our case, on a Saturday morning, and for some people, very early on a Saturday morning. I mean, we had somebody on the call from Hawaii, and it was very early there. I think really speaks to people wanting to change and feeling like it's not just me, and then also feeling like they found this tribe of other people. And I think that really comes across to somebody working with DEF, is it's not a bunch of people that are like, oh, I'm stuck in this box and I don't like this job and I don't know how to, you know, fix these problems. It's a bunch of people that I think are really motivated to fix things and are really excited about what they have to offer. And I think are really excited that they have found other people like themselves to really tackle big issues. And that little tagline of, I think it's virtuous insurgency, I think you feel that. I think that it really feels like a group of folks that are taking on a big system and know that it's a challenge. But, you know, that's part of it, is that you've got all these people around you that are trying to do the same thing. And it's hard to miss the energy and the sense of purpose that comes from being around that group of folks.
Oh, that was amazing, Lee. Was there any of the sessions, I know we had several breakouts there that you facilitated, but was there any of them that was your favorite or something that really stuck out in your brain that we did that maybe you didn't know about DEF before?
So we did a session on brainstorming. We use this technique called brain writing, and it's really good to get a bunch of different ideas. And I was really pleased to see how diverse the ideas were on one hand, but on the other hand, how there was this unifying thread through them. And there were a couple where I was like, I just don't know what we're talking about here. And I'm thinking, gosh, it's not a big enough topic. It's not a big enough issue. It seems too niche. And then you get three or four people going, no, that really is important. I really do want to work on that. Like we had this one that was it was the attacks one, and I forgot what the longer tagline was for it, but it was David's. And I really didn't understand it. And then to have, you know, three or four other people go, oh yeah, no, that's a really important topic, I think was really a really fun moment. And I think that's the beauty of having everybody come together for a planning session like this, is to find the gold nuggets that are buried in there and have someone say, you know, I'm really interested in this. And then all these other people raise their hands and say, I am also interested in that. And that's what powers organizations, right? Is that people are excited to be doing the work that they're doing. So I think that that one really spoke to me. And then, I mean, the other one is just listening to Trish talk about this organization. And she uses this phrase, something like she's the mama bear, or, you know, it's her, you know, sort of like her people and her tribe. And I think that really comes across. And I think it's just hard to fake that passion, right? And she's talking about how it, I don't know if this overstates it, you know, kind of changes her life, right? From going from a job where she doesn't feel like she fits in and the boss really doesn't seem to understand what she's doing, to saying, who are the people out there that get what I'm doing and what I'm about? And then to find them, and I think to pay it forward and say, I really want to do whatever I can to bring this group together and to move this agenda forward, so that other people don't have that moment. I think that's a genius of that little interview session, is to just have someone explain why is this important, and boy, it really seems important. So that certainly sticks with me. I mean, that's a pretty standout moment to me, to have a leader really be able to encapsulate why this organization matters.
Continue to listen as our engagement team lead, Dolores, chats with our executive director, Trish, about what brought her to DEF in the first place and her mission and vision for DEF for the next 2 years.
All right, Trish, first question. What inspired you to join DEF?
Oh, okay. What inspired me to join DEF? A collision event, I guess, would be the best way to put that. But let me start with what happened before that. And it was one of my worst bosses ever. Really one of my worst bosses ever, who literally stood at my desk and was so proud to say to me, you know, Trish, that innovation stuff, like, it's just not needed here. We don't need your innovation. We don't need your bright ideas. We don't need your questions about why we do things. And so just keep it to yourself. And if we do need any innovation stuff, we'll just come over and give you a little shake. And you can shake your innovation on whatever project, but until then, just keep it to yourself. And he was so proud of himself to tell me that. You know, he was so proud of, like, oh, well, I have contained this ridiculous force of nature known as Trish, you know, and I've gotten her to put her innovation stuff back on the shelf. And now we can get down to doing some real work. So that happened. And then my dog, George, had to say about it. Perfect. Hey, come here. And then a little while later, I want to say, David, it was Josh Smith. I ran into Josh Smith. So again, these are a series of collision events. I ran into Josh Smith at the Navy Yard, and we were in an office talking about something completely different. And for those of you who don't know Josh, he is the leader of the Navy's Tactical Advancements for the Next Generation, or TANG. He's an amazing guy. He's a force of innovation, nature, all in and of himself. So Josh and I started talking about some stuff, and Josh said, you know, I have some friends that do this little project. They're just starting, and they do the Federal Innovators Network, and they're having a social event. You should go to it. So I went to it, started drinking some beer. People were talking just like me. They were like asking questions about why government does stuff in the same way that I asked questions. And I was like, oh my God, there are people like me out there. I'm not crazy. There are other innovators out there. So I started, and this was 2018, I started talking to Christian Hadjik. And she was like, you know what? You have a lot of, you know, passion and fire about innovation inside the world's biggest bureaucracy. I would love to invite you to speak at the DEF event that's happening in Denver in 2018. So that is how I got connected to DEF, how I joined DEF, and how, in a way, DEF saved my life. Now, that's my answer to how I got connected to DEF.
Awesome. Well, I see that Josh is about to get like a bunch of connection requests on LinkedIn. So that was a great shout out. Quick question about what inspired you is, how did you take that feedback that you originally got that was very like negative almost, right? To like hold back your thoughts or hold back your ideas. How did you take that feedback to further like accelerate yourself once you got into the community?
Well, you know, I just realized that I was not going to bloom where I was planted. Like that was, that was a rocky soil, and like no blooms were going to sprout from my vines there. So, I mean, you can't tell innovators not to innovate. Mm-hmm. You can't tell creators not to create. Like it would be like telling all of humanity, don't breathe. You know, it's just something that we have to do. We have to ask questions about the why or why not, or how might we, and we have to find an outlet for that. So I remember having a very serious conversation with someone that was giving me great advice. And I said, listen, I can't just sit at my desk and not do this. And in that conversation, I came to where I said, you know, I'm just going to apply all this to the Defense Entrepreneurs Forum. I'm just going to take the energy that I'm not allowed, you know, I'm not authorized to expend my workplace, and I'm going to roll it over into the Defense Entrepreneurs Forum, and you know, just really became laser focused. I was very lucky at the time that I was assigned to the community team under Jeremy Thomas. Shout out to JT, and you know, he just had a really clear blueprint and plan of what the community team would do for the Defense Entrepreneurs Forum, and got to kind of, you know, work by his side for about 4 months before things changed for him and he stepped out of that leadership role and I stepped into it. So that was really cool.
Awesome. Okay. So now that you are in your new position as executive director and taking all the lessons learned that you had in your previous role, what would you say are your top three initiatives during your tenure as executive director?
Yeah. So the very first one is the new member experience. I want people that come in to feel like they're part of the effort as soon as they are ready or as soon as they're open to working with us. So making the new members experience a little bit more sticky is really my number one priority. So when you come in, you know that number one, you're valued and you're indispensable to this organization. We run on the power of volunteers, 100%. Well, with the exception of some really cool paid members that are on this call. But, you know, we run on the power of volunteers and the ingenuity of volunteers. And I think that there are just so many, we have close to 5,000 members. There are so many people there that would be like, oh, I could totally help you with that if they knew what the ask was. Mm-hmm. And we would ask the right people if we knew what their interest was, what their availability is, and what they're good at. We have a lot of people that are experts in human-centered design and user experience, and we're wrestling with the new member experience for our own members. So, like, you know, there is a place there for that. So number one is the new member experience. Number two is the innovation ecosystem map. So David Schiff is on this call and he started this ball rolling, right? So in 2018 in Denver, he and Laszlo and was there someone else, David? But
we were on a team with Josh Marcuse, actually. That was kind of cool.
And there we go. So he started the ball rolling in 2018 about the innovation ecosystem map. And some people, like, you know, poo-poo it and they're like, oh, what's the big deal about a map? You know what? It doesn't matter what the big deal about the map is because people want it. People ask for it. And they started recycling the 2018 version late last year, which kind of, you know, encouraged me to shift directions, because all of last year we had great events and DefX, and Keith is here, he's like the DefX slayer. We had these great DefX events for software and they were amazing and they were great. And we did good work in that space, but there's nothing unique about our value proposition there. But there is something unique about a nonprofit that can look around the innovation ecosystem and say, these are the dots on the map. So we'll give the people what they want. And the innovation ecosystem is my number two priority. We're going to shift from software DefXs to the strength of the innovation ecosystem DefXs, because again, one of the things that we're dedicated to is connecting, right? So like those dots on a map and getting people connected, complete unique value proposition for Def. And then the final thing that I'm really all about is content. I want to see us on LinkedIn. I want to see those 90-second snippets of people, you know, sharing their wisdom. I want to see beautiful graphics that go out there that reflect some of the cool things that we've done. I would love to see visual note-taking of meetings like this that go out into the universe so that people weren't there, you know, can take 30 seconds and see the whole flow of the meeting. You know, I love Google Docs as much as the next person, but there's something amazing about a visual representation. So content in all forms. I really want to unlock the power and the wisdom of this group of people and share it with the world. And we do that through content. So those are my top three priorities.
Awesome. I'm seeing some questions in the chat, particularly when you talked about the innovation ecosystem map. Do you want to share a link today of like what it might look like, or do you want to wait for the big rollout?
I think in this group that it will be great to share it. It's not going to look unlike what you saw in 2018. It's just updated. And I will drop it into the chat right now. I will ask that because we are planning a big rollout event, that the people on this call understand that this is like pre-decisional, pre-publication. So share it in a way that would allow it to still be a big deal when it rolls out. So if it makes sense for you at work, use it at work. I would really just like to keep it close hold. Yeah.
Perfect. The other thing that also would came in as a recommendation of us to highlight in content wise is success stories and yes. Some of the achievements of our members, whether it's the critical connection, whether it was someone that really like changed the trajectory of someone's career. And as you know, the engagement team is going to be working very closely with the partners for podcasts, for blogs, yep. for anything that we can to also support this whole mission of creating content and also providing, you know, knowledge out there of like all the smart people that we have in the community. Let's use their brains. Let's get that information out there and get it out of just like the Slack discussions. So I'm really excited. Toby's leading that effort. And he's doing a phenomenal job. So I can't wait to share with you that content plan. He's already putting it together. So I'm very, very happy about that.
Everybody use your reaction symbol to give Dolores a big yay.
thank you. So last question that I have for you, and I think that this is a very important question, is can you talk about some of the challenges that DEF faces today and how you think that we can really overcome those challenges? So having a little bit of a tough discussion, I know, first thing in the morning, but this might help set the theme for, you know, going forward in the day.
Right. And I would say the number one thing that all volunteer organizations face is availability and burnout. So, when I came onto the community team, we were a team of three. And within 4 months, we were a team of one. And, I was lucky because there were no avenues in my professional space to apply my ingenuity and creativity. But DEF became a second full-time job, essentially. Mm-hmm. And there were some ups and downs during that period of time. And it would have been really easy at a couple of the down points for me to walk away and be like, DEF's asking too much of me. So being really well informed by that experience, I'm really looking at things in a bite-sized piece project. So instead of the community team being responsible for all of the Agora work, I'm looking at things like what we're doing on Monday, which is an Agora launch for the six Agoras that we have in the queue, which is amazing. So instead of just like throwing it all on the shoulders of the community team, I'm asking for volunteers and for help for that one project. Right. And then the next thing that we do is going to be separate. So again, instead of leaving the, you know, all of those Agoras, all six of them in the backpack of one person on the community team, we've designed a way forward where existing Agoras that are already strong pair with emerging Agoras so that it's a partnership and a running partner. So I'm really sensitive to availability of volunteers and for asking too much. And sometimes even the volunteer that's got all this availability and energy doesn't realize how much is getting drained out. And I really want to see volunteers that are here for a lifespan rather than a season. So that is one of the challenges. Secondly, honestly, I have promised the board that I would be the last unpaid executive director. So that means fundraising. And we don't have specifically, you know, a fundraiser in chief in the way that we have in the past. So I really need to deputize everyone in the organization to make the ask. And we're not asking for money. We're actually asking to give people the opportunity to team with us. You know, there's this concept in football that there's the 12th man in the stands. We need to activate our 12th man. You know, if we ask, I mean, you've probably seen this on Facebook, right? Oh, it's my birthday. I'm doing fundraising for this charity. You know, just ask people. You'd be amazed. You'd be surprised at the people who are like, oh, I didn't know. Like, I hadn't thought of donating to DEF. Here's $500. You know what that does? It funds my trip to Bloomington. I mean, this is great stuff. You just ask. People love to team with a team that has enthusiasm and energy. And all of us on this call and so many of us around the organization are so proud and impassioned about this organization. People can't resist the opportunity to be part of a winning team. That's what we are. And like, if you don't feel comfortable making the ask, make the invitation. I will come by and I will, you know, talk to them about what their money unlocks and what it does. You know, I really want to move to a place where we have professional staff that are working this 24 hours. Well, not 24 hours a day, but, you know, that are working this as part of their job. You know, this is a serious organization. We have serious goals and we make a serious impact and a difference in the environments that we touch. I want everyone to have a lifeline like Trish did in 2018. Honestly, if I hadn't found DEF, you know, I mean, I think we're more in a world right now where we're more comfortable talking about our mental health. But if I hadn't found DEF in 2018, I could have really taken those instructions that my terrible boss gave me about just keep your innovation to yourself. Mm-hmm. And it would have been a killer. It would have been a killer. I mean, I think of David, you know, hopefully will nod. I think of all the goodness that I've been able to do in my professional space since I got away from that boss. And it's transformational. And I want to build a springboard like that for all of the people like Trish around national security, because that's where we make a difference and that's where we're dedicated.
That's awesome. I think those two initiatives are really powerful. And also I see that you're building into almost like a succession plan within DEF to help establish a framework for the future, which is really, really exciting. And then I have one last question, which is fun. What is your favorite place for you and George to go walking?
Oh, well, anywhere where I can take him off leash. Because he has such a blast running around. But yeah. As you know, because you're another Great Pyrenees owner, like they don't listen to instructions. They don't come back when you call them. If they see something amazing, they will just run around and they will be completely deaf, right? Like they will be completely deaf. They don't hear you at all. They don't respond. So there is a place over the river where a friend of mine owns a home that has not been lived in for a while. So George and I go, and it's about a 3-acre property. George and I go over there. I let him off the leash. If there's any, you know, like drinking teenagers over there, we scare them off. So it's really great. It feels nice to let him off a leash in a place where he's safe and contained. And we actually do a little good for my friend who's the homeowner to keep, you know, people who would ne'er-do-well on her property off the property. So it's awesome.
I just like literally visualized you and George running towards some like teenage children and him like like running and you're like, no, get away. The visual is great.
You know, as you know, the fun part is that Great Pyrenees look terrifying as they're running towards you because they look like polar bears.
Yes.
But you know, their big objective is to get up to you, maybe like jump on you and like lick your face. That's their, you know, they're terrifying. If you're not a wolf or a prey animal on a farm, you don't have to worry about Great Pyrenees.
Yes. You actually just made me think, Heather just made me think of something fun to ask you right before letting you go is, so she put in a quote, definitely don't keep your innovation to yourself. But what would be like a one-liner that you would tell people as they're, you know, in this, entering the space, looking for motivation to stay in the space, or are happy to be in the space, but are kind of looking for a new challenge and want to know like what's next?
Innovation unlocks the future. It unlocks the future. Whether you are in a startup world, whether you are looking around the world's biggest bureaucracy for a how might we question, or whether you are inspiring a person that's next to you, innovation unlocks the future.
Love it. Thank you so much. This was a really good conversation. I really appreciate the honor of interviewing you. This was a lot of fun. And now I forever have the visual of you and George chasing away teenage children. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Dolores.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We love ideas and feedback, so feel free to send your thoughts to hello@deaf.org. For more great content and to stay in the loop about community events and activities, follow us on social media and subscribe to our monthly newsletter. Everyone plays a part in building the innovative national security culture we want to see. To find where you fit, just go to deaf.org/join. That's def.org/join.